Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890-925-KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
This is Elder Care Radio, bringing you the latest and most important information relating to health and wellness for our senior members of our community. Our needs change as we age, and care should change too. We strive to help everyone, young and old, to be their own best medical advocate and actively seek the best treatment and options available to them.
Yeah, excited to be here today, and I love your new opening, Andy. That's a great one. You did a nice job.
I had to when at the end of your show last week, I was like, wait, it still says 94.9. We've switched FM to 92.5. I'm like, I've got to fix that. I wanted to ask you guys, as you get rolling on the show today, was there any fallout from last week's show?
Oh, good. Good line. Fallout. No. Certainly, we really appreciate the people who called and asked questions, and mm-hmm. we certainly hope that the program encouraged people to be a little more comfortable with the possibility of having that conversation with their doctor.
Yeah. I think it's really important to be comfortable as a human being in knowing that we are all going to have physical changes that might be uncomfortable to talk about. But mm-hmm. the longer we put them off, the more devastating it could be, the more damaging lifelong impact it can have on our physical abilities or inabilities. So we just need to be comfortable stepping outside of our comfort zone and being honest with ourselves and with others and saying, this is a problem, this is an issue, is there anything I can do to deal with it? And quite often, more often than not, there are things that we can do to fix problems or cure problems.
Yeah, there are actually cures for that. There are treatments for that. There are options that are available that can help deal with that. And wouldn't it be great if we've been struggling with this, you know, this private issue and not wanting to talk about it, and then we find out that there is such a simple solution that can resolve that and take the problem away. I think that's really what we'd like, is if it can be cured, then we deal with it. If there's a treatment that's available, if there's an intervention that people can take advantage of, let's do that so that we can get back to living a great life instead of having that limit us.
And to realize that we're not alone in the problem. And that's actually why we had such an awkward, uncomfortable conversation last week, is because, and perhaps it's because we're a voice on the radio, but not a face on TV. Mm. So people feel very comfortable after listening to us week after week for calling on the telephone and not having an eye-to-eye conversation, but asking about things that might be very uncomfortable. And we had many, many calls about that over the last few years. And it was interesting. Richard had said on many occasions, maybe we should talk about the difficult topics. And I'm always like, no.
No, it's all, don't want to.
Yeah, well, I don't want to isolate people. I don't want people to hear it and go, oh, that's awkward, and turn the station. I want them to understand that the only reason we have the conversations we have is from the experiences and the phone calls that we get and the questions that we have. And then we develop a show around that, because we know if one person calls about it, there's probably 100 people out there listening that have the exact same issue.
Right. So if you don't know what we talked about last week, go ahead and give us a call and we'll explain it.
Because we don't want to say it again.
To do with bowels. That's plenty said there.
All right. So it was fecal incontinence. If you knew that word.
There you go.
Give us a call. Let's talk about it. Let's see if we can get you comfortable enough that you can talk to your doctor and find solutions that will help eliminate. Because it's such an overwhelming problem in so many different areas. I mean, socially, if we're concerned about it, and we're not talking about, we can talk about any type, but realize there's a lot of different things that can fit into that broad category. And so whatever it is, if there's a solution, let's take advantage of it. But if you can talk to your doctor because you've now talked to somebody else and realize that it's a much more common conversation, one that your doctor can have with you, you're not going to blindside that person, with a question they've never had to deal with before. It's pretty common. So hopefully we'll just get people past their fear of starting that conversation. That was our goal.
And I love that we have many, many phone calls each week of families or the patients themselves calling and saying, what questions do I ask of my physician? I have an appointment next week, and these are the issues that I have, and what questions do I need to ask to find out the the answers that I'm looking for. And we're always happy to help. And believe me, you know, we've gathered a lot of helpful questions that are very general and broad, but we will take that time to kind of research the issue that they're dealing with and find out from a doctor's perspective what questions could be asked to lead them to feel comfortable with those conversations. And I think that that's one of, I guess, the most enlightening things that we've discovered is how often doctors don't want to have, and it's shocking to me, the conversations with you that you think are just going to be readily available. That, you know, I'm going to the doctor, so clearly the doctor understands I want answers to everything. I want to know what this diagnosis means, what the progression of this diagnosis will be, what treatments, and not just one, not just your opinion, but all of them so that I can be involved in my healthcare. I'm always surprised in interviewing doctors and speaking with doctors how often they wait for the patient to indicate that they want more information. So those questions are imperative. And I love that our listeners feel comfortable calling us, reaching out to us and saying, I've got this doctor appointment. I have all these issues. What questions are right for me? And we usually say, okay, these are some common general questions, but if you give me just a little bit of time, I'll do some research. I'll talk to our doctors and we'll discover what questions are going to be important for you. And we always call them back or email them a list of questions, whatever they want. It's no commitment for the phone call. It's just us wanting to help the seniors in our community live a better, higher quality of life.
And that phone number is local area code, and then 477-6999. 477 on the left, 6999 on the right.
Easy. Okay, so what is our topic?
Well, so I thought you were going to start this story, so I'll start it. My daughter invited my wife to go to a movie, a girls' night out.
And,
my daughter was...
Yeah. I know. She's a newlywed. I didn't expect it.
Yeah. But she just said, hey, let's go do this. It was a movie, what was it, Marry Me? Is that right?
Marry Me, yeah. And I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. I loved the music. I loved the hokey, cheesy storyline. It was great.
That was an uncompensated... positive review there.
Right.
Well, she did call it hokey. I don't know if it was completely positive.
So the storyline, I don't know if I want that. It sounds like a teenager chick flick, but it really wasn't. I mean, just a really quick general, it was more about how love is found in many different ways, and don't limit yourself with this expectation of, what you imagine love to be, and then that's the only way you're going to, find love. And I thought that was really a deep informational insight. I'm very happy to say that my daughter did find that, perfect soulmate for herself, and I think I've done pretty good. But how many people, siblings, family members, friends, feel like they didn't find it the first time, and then they wonder if it's out there. And I think, the base of the storyline being it's not the same for everybody, and be willing to be non-conventional in your approach. And that didn't necessarily mean, through social media. What I thought was kind of more interesting is it kind of went back to the old days of finding love, where you had to, actually meet and interact with somebody. So it was a good movie that way. But,
and all of that had nothing to do with what we're going to talk about today.
Right. But what was great about that, what was great was the experience with my daughter.
That's right. Girls' night out and having that. But she came out of the movie with a headache. And my wife has some issues with NSAIDs. She's allergic to them. So the only option she has.
But I wasn't born with them. And that's what was surprising to me. I mean, about, 10 years ago, I used to get terrible, terrible migraines my whole life. And my doctor would prescribe ibuprofen, 800s. Mm-hmm. And I didn't take them very often. I was very cautious about how often I took them because I don't like to take a lot of meds. But that kind of seemed to be, we had tried a lot of different therapies, and that was the only one that really hit my headaches. And all of a sudden, I developed this terrible allergy to it. Mm-hmm. And that was shocking to me and frightening, because what am I going to use beside that? And honestly, it was informative and educational. So what ended up happening is I had to go through, I'm going to call them withdrawals from the ibuprofen, and I got intense migraines that would last for a week at a time, debilitating, terrible. And then all of a sudden, even without the ibuprofen, my migraines became less severe. And maybe one or two Tylenol was all it took. And I thought that was really peculiar. I mean, I was graduating up to higher doses of ibuprofen, and then all of a sudden, I did kind of go through this really debilitating time of getting out of the habit of ibuprofen, but then just small Tylenols was working. And then just recently, I discovered that even a small amount of Tylenol will break me out in hives. And I mean, I itch to the point that I just want to break my skin itching. They're so, you know, it's so itchy.
So what we realized, you know, we've realized this for a long time, but one of the things we want to talk about today is how drugs that we take affect our bodies other than what they were prescribed for, you know, the negative impacts. And so we've got the top 10 drug-induced nutrient deficiencies, and we wanted to talk about that because if we are on a medication long-term, that medication does have an impact somewhere else in our body. And if we don't know what that impact is and we're not trying to address it, then we're going to have that drug not be as effective, and it's going to cause other problems. And so we just wanted to go through these and kind of cover them a little bit so that you know. So if you are on some medication, some therapy, and you've been doing this for any length of time at all, and even some of them very short term, then realize that it's probably depleting your body of some nutrients that it may need, and you may need to go into taking supplements just to address that.
Just to be clear, or to clarify what we mean, if you take a medication, there is usually an adverse effect on another body system. If you really need that medication, you have options. You can switch. There's usually many medications that do the same, you know, have the same effect, but you can also take minerals or supplements that will offset the depletion that the medication causes. So in my instance with the ibuprofen, that was many years ago, but I discovered, and I knew that it had an adverse effect on my liver, but it was my liver that was causing my reaction. So I had to go through like a detoxification of my liver, and I started taking supplements to help strengthen my liver. And now, of course, it's probably the same thing with Tylenol. And I will admit, I started taking more than I probably should have. So if we need a medication for something, you have options. You can switch the type of drug or which drug you're taking, or you can also supplement and offset the damage that it's causing.
All right, so let's start with blood sugar control medications, things like metformin, which is an old drug that's been around a long time and used by quite a number of people. That drug creates some nutrient depletions in vitamin B12 and folic acid. If we aren't taking those supplements, then our bodies don't have those, and those are very necessary vitamins and minerals in our body. It also reduces a substance called intrinsic factor in the stomach, and that is needed for a good absorption of B12. So not only does it deplete our B12, but it depletes our ability to harvest B12. Yes,
right.
Assimilate it. So it's really important that we keep adding that in. Also, it can deplete CoQ10, which affects our heart and so many other things. So, and we're just going to go through these. And if you have any questions, give us a call later. Drugs for high cholesterol, certainly statin drugs. There's a huge number of things that need to be done. Mostly CoQ10 is one of the major things that it depletes. And if we don't really have an understanding of what CoQ10 can do to us, or the lack of it, it causes heart failure. Our heart can't pump correctly. And if you're noticing muscle pain, then that's a good indication that you're probably low on CoQ10. So those are going to be important things.
Okay, so remember, if you're taking something like a metformin or a cholesterol drug, there are always things, supplements, minerals that will offset the damaging consequences. Now, remember, you don't want to just overdo it on supplements, though, because your kidneys and liver, you still have to process all those. So taking, you know, 50 supplements a day is not the answer. You have to be specific in the minerals and supplements that you're taking. I'm not a huge advocate of, oh, you know, I need 50 vitamins every day. You have to process those through, too. So there is a balance.
Our bodies naturally, you know, get what they need from the food we normally eat. Certainly we could eat healthier. Really, what the important thing is that we talk to our doctor. And let him know that we have an interest in finding out ways that we can help ourselves be better at using these drugs. Not just saying, well, there's a drug for that. You know, that there's a meme out there that, you know, somebody comes in and the doctor says, okay, so you have a problem that's induced by, you know, bad diet and exercise, and so I'm going to recommend that you do that. Well, isn't there just a pill for that? And the drug says, well, yeah, there is. Here you go. You know, but that pill isn't your better option. But if you are taking that pill, and sometimes those are necessary, then let's see what we can do to improve everything else around that to help us out.
I also think it's important to remember that most pharmaceuticals were intended for short-term use. There are a few that are lifelong or a long extended period of time use, intended for an extended period of time. But most pharmaceuticals were intended for short-term use. So if you have been on a drug for a long time, you probably need to discuss that with your doctor and express your concerns and ask about what the long-term effects of that are, and if there's anything you can do to offset those effects, or if there's another drug you can trade to that would be similar in its effectiveness.
Okay, so then hypertension drugs. They come to two different categories here. Beta blockers, you should know kind of what the drug is. And if you're taking drugs you don't know what they're used for, do a little research. Find out why you're taking them so that you know if they're doing any good. So beta blockers tend to deplete, again, CoQ10, and they reduce the hormone melatonin in our body, which helps us sleep better at night and things like that. So if you're noticing that you're not sleeping well, it's a good indication that that's a problem that you have, and you should probably be taking something for that.
A footnote, we've been saying CoQ10 a lot because, of course, that helps our muscles and our joints with pain. But that is, you never want to take CoQ10 with your statin. You want to leave some space in between it. They suggest 1 to 4 hours. So don't take it at the same time because they counteract each other.
Okay, so then furosemide and hydroxychlorothiazide are a different set of hypertension drugs. Those are diuretics. And those deplete our calcium and magnesium, those minerals in our body, potassium, vitamin C, B1, B6, and zinc.
Yeah.
And so if we're taking those, then we probably need to take that multivitamin that includes those.
But a single well-balanced vitamin is probably all you need.
And then drugs that we're not taking for a long time, we just take them once or twice or, you know, a little bit. Those all have effects on us. You know, the heartburn and acid reflux drugs, because they reduce acid, they, you know, affect things in our stomach. And so we end up losing the ability to assimilate, again, vitamin B12, vitamin D, and calcium. So those need to be taken in better. So whey protein supplements, lots of calcium, fatty acids, omega-3 fatty acids, those are going to be things that we can add to our bodies, and some probiotics if you're taking those medications to overcome the problems that we're creating in our gut. All right, I'll take the next one, and that's constipation medications like mineral oil. That's a natural one. And then lactulose or Miralax or Senna, all of those. If we have been taking those for a while, then we are reducing our body's ability to assimilate fat-soluble vitamins. Those are A, D, E, and K. And, of course, vitamin B12 and calcium and iron and zinc. And so those, again, if we're on a medication trying to solve constipation, we really need to be adding to our intake, again, probiotics to help break that stuff down, fatty acids, omega-3 fatty acids, calcium, magnesium, zinc.
This is kind of a good place to mention that if you are on an antibiotic, we know that antibiotic means it's going to kill a lot of our stomach, beneficial bacteria in our stomach. You should be supplementing with a probiotic. But again, as I explained before, you don't want to take those together. If you're on an antibiotic, you want to take a probiotic 1 to 4 hours apart. Longer is better. So maybe you take your antibiotic at night, and then when you get up in the morning, you have a probiotic like some good healthy live culture yogurt or something like that. But it is important to supplement when you're depleting a mineral or a vitamin.
And each of the antibiotics that you might take deplete different parts of that spectrum of problems. So depending on what it is, whether you're losing biotin or Inosol, you know, all of those things, we need to be able to address that specifically to make sure we're getting the right things. So talk to your doctor. This is well proven information. So your doctor should be able to tell you, well, if you're on that antibiotic, these are the things that you're probably going to need to take to overcome that.
This is also information that's readily available because we have such wonderful access to, information today. That's definitely a blessing. So be sure to be your own best medical advocate. And if you need any help at all, we are always happy to take those calls and help you do the research for your specific need.
And if we're taking antidepressants, Celebrex or Zoloft, those types of things, those also have some effects on our needs. Melatonin. Again, we start losing that ability to gain that sleeping cycle when we take these drugs that affect our rhythms and mental process. So it's important to realize that you may need to improve that. It depletes sodium in our bodies. Most of us may not need sodium, but if you're sodium depleted, it has just deleterious effects on our bodies.
Well, I don't think we realize how many meds actually deplete the sodium. You know, for so many years, we were so concerned with the sodium and levels in our system that we went to very low sodium or sodium-free diets. And while for many, that's beneficial, if you're on a lot of meds that deplete your sodium, you need to put that back in there. I happen to have a sodium deficiency, so I have to, supplement that to bring my sodium levels up. And as we age, especially in female, that actually becomes a common problem. So be aware of those things. Ask those questions. Look at your labs. Labs are pretty easy to read. They're very clear on where you're high and where you're low. Meds are, it's very easy to find the information regarding what minerals and vitamins are depleted as we take them. So just make sure that you advocate for yourself. And we realize how difficult the system is. We are happy to help.
And then let's go back to those pain medications, Tylenol, Percocet, Motrin, Naproxen. Yeah, all of those. They deplete our folic acid, vitamin C and zinc, but they also deplete glutathione, which is the problem that we have is it prevents the liver from being damaged. And if we reduce that, then we end up with liver damage. And that's a self, replicating cycle of needing more of something to solve.
It's evident that's what I need.
So if you've been taking those regularly or, more often than just a rare occasion, then you probably need to look at getting some supplements in vitamin C, selenium, N-acetylcysteine. Those are all going to be important. The N-acetylcysteine is the precursor for glutathione. That's what you take in, and your body then processes it. And the first resulting chemical that comes out of that is the glutathione, which is what your body would use. It has been great talking to you today. Our telephone number, 435-477-6999. Give us a call, and we'll answer more questions for you.
Have a wonderful week, everyone.